Good. It's good to be here, folks. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter number 1, verse number 5. 1 John 1, 5. 1 John 1, 5. First John chapter number 1 and verse number 5. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 2 verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Amen. Father, anoint your word and this messenger in thy holy name. Amen. You can be seated. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came to Israel. He came to people who were Old Testament Jews in every sense of the word. They were had the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We call it Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, either way you want to say it, same thing. They had that faith, like Nathanael, for example, an Israelite in whom is no guile indeed. Zacharias, the priest who was serving in the office of priest when the angel showed up and said, you're going to have a son. Men like that and women like that. Simeon, who was in the temple waiting for the coming of the Lord. Anna, the prophetess, as she stayed there night and day, waiting for the coming of the Lord of the consolation of Israel. That number could be multiplied by thousands throughout the land. Their name is not mentioned, but they were real and genuine in their faith. They were Old Testament Jews. They were looking for the coming of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago and started talking about being the light of the world, they understood what he meant by that because they made a reference to that, to the sacrifice that God gave them. They all had the Pentateuch, and they all knew that when God Almighty answered by fire from heaven in the Old Testament, it was an indication that he had received the sacrifice. This is how we know that between Cain and Abel, God accepted Abel's sacrifice because he came down in fire and received it. This is why on the top of Mount Carmel, when Elijah and had the prophets of Baal do everything they could possibly do, gave them all the time they needed, God did not answer by fire, because he couldn't answer by fire. Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. All Elijah was doing was exactly what had happened in the beginning. The sacrifice was right, and so God came down in fire, and he received that sacrifice unto himself. He told them when they built the tabernacle, the tent in the wilderness, the mobile structure. He told them when they built this tabernacle, he said, in the holy place, you'll have light. You'll have it, and it will ever burn. Don't let it go out. And so it was necessary for them to keep this fire burning. The fire represented the Holy Spirit, and it also represented the fire that came down from God out of heaven, because that light was taken from the brazen altar outside, and it was taken inside to light the seven golden candlesticks. These seven golden candlesticks are what's referred to as the menorah. In the tabernacle, in the temple, had seven of them. And then the feast of and the celebration of Hanukkah, which is going on, I think, right about now, among the Jewish people, is called the Feast of Lights, and the celebration of lights. And the reason it is because during the time between the Testaments, between Malachi and Matthew, foreign powers, as they always have. Try to come in and take and usurp from Israel and drive them from the lands and put them in slaves. And so they had driven these foreigners out by the hand of the Maccabees. We find this in 1st and 2nd Maccabees. They'd driven them out. And so they wanted to rededicate the temple. They wanted to bring it back to God because it had had a swine killed on it. Swine's blood had defiled the temple. Some of the worst stuff you can imagine. This is what the pagan does. He does not know the difference between the profane and the holy. It's like a pearl in the mouth of a swine. It's like that which is holy that's cast to the dogs. They have no idea what is right and when it comes to God. This is why you're a child of the light. You walk in the light to have the Holy Spirit in you. You know the difference. And so they had one night's oil to rededicate the light, the menorah, inside the temple. They had one night. And it would take longer than that. And this is the oil that they found that had been consecrated. They couldn't use just any oil. This was the oil of consecration. And they had one night's worth. And so they found that, and they were going to burn it. But after that night, then they'd be in darkness. And this was a horrible thing, because the light should not go out. But when they started to burn it, it burned for 8 days. That's a miracle in itself. And to this day, the Jews really get into this, into Hanukkah. And so the menorah changed from 7 golden candlesticks to 9. And the reason for the 9 is because they added 2 more in respect and remembrance of Hanukkah, of what had happened there in the temple when it was rededicated to God, and it lasted for 8 days. They have now, instead of 3 branches and 1 center, they've got 4 branches and 1 center. The center is the part of the candle, and they take that center light and they light all of the others with it. It's called the shamash. The center light, being the shamash, is literally the servant. And I thought it's quite remarkable, because they have 8, therefore, that are being lit by the one in the center. Do you know whose number is 8, dear friend? The Lord Jesus Christ. The gematria of his name is 888, Jesus. And what does the number 8 represent? The number 8 represents new beginning. New beginning. 7 as far as you can go with God, to perfection. After 7, then you start counting 8, 9, 10, so forth and so on. Each number has a distinct meaning in the Bible. But the number 8 is the number of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, the shamash, the servant, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lights all the rest of the candles, and now they are 8 in number. He's coming back, folks. It's like when they have the cedar, they call it the Passover. There is a seat that is left open at the Passover. And that seat is left open, and tradition says that they're waiting for Elijah to show up or someone. But it's called the Afikoman. And that Afikoman means until he comes. And I'd like to remind them who he is that's going to come. But you see, these are the people of the light and the people of the book. And they're the people that God gave the truth to. And so now when they have the Passover, they have the Passover, the cedar they call it, they have a seat that is the Afikoman. Until he comes. He is the light of the world. When he stood up among the Jews, Old Testament Jews, 2,000 years ago, and said he was the light of the world, they understood that to mean he is the light that came from God, that came down to accept the sacrifice. There's no other way. There's no misunderstanding it. If he'd stood up and said that in Greece, or if he'd said that in Rome, they would have looked over to Vesta, as I told you in Sunday school about the other day. The Vesta was a temple of the goddess Vesta, who was the eternal light for Rome. And she was served by the Vestal Virgins. Vestal Virgins, who are the forerunner of the nuns today in the Roman Catholic Church. All you have to do is trace it back. And so they had the perpetual fire burning in Rome that gave them the light. Like we have at UT, there is a statue over there holding the light. Men want the light, but the problem is that they won't accept the light that came down from heaven. The Lord told them in the book of Isaiah, he said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, build a fire and watch the sparks as they fly off of that fire, and use that to light your way, because that's what you're doing when you reject the true light. The Bible said he's the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. John chapter number 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of God, for he is the truth of God. He is the manifestation of God, and he is the one who came to tell us the truth about God. Amen. And so therefore, when you reject him, you have rejected the light. You can sit around and you can in some kind of a yogic trance, or you know, a lotus position, all you want to, and think that some higher light is going to come down and give you an illumination, and all it's going to be is darkness. Have you ever noticed a Hindu that has a spot right here in the center of their forehead? That represents the third eye. of the location of where it is. It is the ability to see into the unseeing, to know the unknowable. They are the elite. They have been initiated. When they carry this mark on their forehead, they're saying, I can see what you cannot see. And I feel for these people, because when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you think you have the light, but you don't. You're walking in darkness. There's only one light that came into the world, or ever will come into the world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When you light a candle, what you're doing is you're putting light in the midst of darkness. Lighting a candle is another way of saying, I'm going to give you the truth. I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. So you take a candle, you light it, and you put food in this basket. You take the food and you give it out to people outside and say to them, here is the food. We don't want you to be hungry. Well, thank you. You say, no, thank the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that made the food possible. The Son of God is the one who ultimately gets the glory for whatever we do around here. Amen. And if we're not going to give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to get it ourselves. And what's that going to do? That's vain. That's about as empty as it can be. There's nothing more empty than a human being, folks. Amen. The ox knows its crib and everything else, and yet a man doesn't have any idea where he came from, where he's going. He says in the book of Isaiah, and that's sad. Amen. We think we know so much, but we're so dumb when it comes to God. That's right. Canst thou by searching find out God? The only way that a man will ever know God is when God makes himself known to that man. So the Lord said here in 1 John, in John chapter number 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It never will comprehend it. It reminds me of the time when the Lord, it says in the Old Testament, when they dedicated the temple to God. Do you remember when they dedicated that temple to God, that the priests were in that temple, Solomon's temple we're talking about? Now, David didn't build the temple. He had the plans, but his son Solomon built it. And when they built this temple, the priests, of course, were going to go inside the temple, and they were going to hallow it. They were going to sanctify it and set it apart to the Lord. But what did God do to them? It got dark, and he ran them out of there. The thick darkness, they couldn't stand, they couldn't see anything, stumbling over themselves. And then he told them this. He said, I dwell in the thick darkness. Now, wait a minute. The Apostle John told us in John chapter number 1 that in him is no darkness at all. So how can he dwell in the thick darkness? Well, you see, here's the thing. The light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world is for those who want to see the light. Otherwise, it's nothing but darkness. In other words, religion's nothing but confusion to you. In other words, you come in here and you think, what in the world are all these people all worked up over? What's going on in here? Well, this is the deadest place in the world. Give me something that'll move me. I want something that'll shake me up, you know. Get me some drums going and some sound. Get stirred up. You see, the flesh gets pumped up. Now, that's what they want. That's what they want, and that's what the churches are giving them. But when you come in here and you get in silence and you get alone with God and you start talking to the Lord, you'd be amazed at how you can see through the darkness. That's the point, to be able to see through the darkness and see the light. And the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look past the darkness of this world, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all sin. If you're a nitpicker, you'll never have fellowship with anybody. If you spend all of your time in the church picking each other to death and, you know, assaulting each other and dissecting each other, you can't have fellowship with somebody like that. I mean, you had them for supper and you had them for breakfast, and then you come to church on Wednesday night. Well, it's good to see you, my brother and my sister. God bless you. Been thinking about you all week long. You know, fellowship in that junk. So what do you do, preacher? You look past their faults. You look through the darkness. You look beyond that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. To Caiaphas and to Annas and to Herod and to the rest of them, they could never see past that darkness. They couldn't see into the light. All they could see was the flesh of the one standing before them. If you can see tonight that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, there is a fellowship that we can have as saints of God. It's a good thing, it's a strong thing, and it'll pull us together. Instead of consuming one another and picking each other to death, why don't we take hold of each other's hands and say, brother, would you get down here and pray with me? I believe you can get a hold of God. Let's get down here and talk to the Lord. and sing together. And you'd be surprised at how that dispels the darkness. It'll move the darkness out because you have fellowship one with another. And the light, you'll walk in the light, and the light will, in 1 John chapter number, watch this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The reason you can't see the light is because all you're looking at is darkness. And the thick darkness drove them from the temple. Think about that. Driven from the very temple of God. Thick darkness. When did thick darkness represent the glory of God? It covered the glory of God. And you can look beyond it. And you can see. And thank God. I can fellowship with any of you in here tonight. I can fellowship with you not because that I can make accommodations for anything you do or you are. I fellowship with you because if you're born again by the Spirit of the living God, we got the same Spirit in us. You've got the same Father I've got. You've got the same Mother I've got. We belong to the same body of Christ. And we can have fellowship one with another. And that fellowship that we have one with another is powerful, 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 powerful. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And what did it say over there in Romans chapter number 8? You remember the 5 rhetorical questions that I preached on this morning? You remember what a rhetorical question is? A rhetorical question is a question that gives an answer or states a fact when it's asking the question. And it says, who or what can separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? And what does that mean, preacher? Think about it for a minute. What does it mean? Does it mean that I might be able to do something or fall into a situation in this world where God doesn't love me anymore? No, that's not what it means. It means that regardless of what happens to you and where you find yourself, he still loves you. He's still your Father, and he's going to show you he's your Father. You see, once he bought you and paid for you, he owns you, and he'll own you forever. And the best thing you can do, and it's the best thing anybody could ever do, is get along with him. Because in Hebrews chapter number 12, he said, those I love, I chasten and scourge every son that I receive. Amen. I got my rear end busted more than once. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If it got back to that, we'd be a lot better off. I had a board laid on me that long. Of course, every time I tell you, it gets a little longer. It was long because it was me. He said, bend over. I knew what was coming. Take hold of that chair. Grab the chair. Bang! You can hear it echo off the walls. All the classes at Rural High School. Well, Lawson's back in there again. He'll never learn, will he? But it helped me. Yes, it did. And I have nothing but the greatest love and respect for the man that laid it on my rear end. Our kids today are being cheated because they don't know what... They don't know what it, they don't. What they do, they get blown up and they go kill each other. Isn't that sad? Killing each other in school. That's the saddest thing in the world. Worst thing that happened for us, we'd have a dog fight out in the yard. A couple of guys be going at it over some girl. She'd be standing over there, boy. Didn't know you cared that much. These two guys be duking it out, blood flying everywhere. But they didn't kill each other. We're just fighting. That's what we did. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is cleansing. That's what it means. Present tense. Cleanseth us from all sin. In other words, your fellowship with God is a continual process, a daily walk, and you're walking in the cleansing of the blood of the Son of God. Takes all self-righteousness away, takes you looking at yourself away, and we fellowship with each other. Could you do it? Could you gather together? Could you all get? Is there anybody in this house tonight you couldn't pray with? Think about it. Is there anybody in here tonight that if they came to you and said, brother or sister, you know, I've got an aunt that's dying, or my dad's dying, or I've lost my job, or my husband or my wife, or we're having problems in our marriage, or my children are rebelling against me. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with them? You might be surprised at what a friend you'll make. Right down here, praying with each other. Amen. That no devil can drive a wedge between. That's light. That's the light. I remember a few years ago, somebody told me, they said, here in Knoxville, Tennessee, there was one church that had so much trouble that they broke up and literally had to, apparently they had to sell the property. I don't remember all the details involved, but here's what happened in that church. They said it got so bad that they were literally yelling and screaming at each other right inside the building. Isn't that sad? Can you imagine what the world thinks if they walked in there and saw something like that going on? But talk about a testimony. That's horrible. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, for his unspeakable gift. I am. The greatest light you'll have, see yourself for who you really are, and then accept the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Don't carry guilt. If you're carrying what you feel like is guilt, you're carrying condemnation, and that's Satan wearing you out. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's no way you can walk in fellowship with God if your soul's loaded down with guilt and you're burdened down with sin. I mean, you're not going to have fellowship with the Lord. You can't do that. You can't do that. If you're sneaking around tonight doing something you shouldn't be doing, won't you confess it? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to get up in front of this church and tell everybody and embarrass a bunch of people, innocent people. If you're doing something that's not right with God, get right with God. Get right with him. And if God tells you that you've got to tell somebody, if he tells you you have to go tell somebody, then he'll tell you who it is that you need to tell. But that would be a rare case. But I know of cases where that has happened, because they had to do that in order to get peace in their soul. Sometimes you may have to go to the person you've wronged. Teaching the scriptural method. If you've wronged somebody, you go to that person. Leave your gift at the altar and go to that person. Get it settled. Don't let it fester. I'd like to see fellowship in here, wouldn't you? Amen. I mean, why couldn't God's people have fellowship? My goodness, folks, if you followed me for a week, you could fill up a notebook of all the warts and wrongs I've got. I know about a third of them. Loosen up tonight. Our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Bible said fools make a mock at sin. There's a place in there where you understand the difference between what that is and what I'm talking about tonight. You don't make light of it. It's not a small thing. When something creeps into your life that needs to be settled, get it settled. And I've learned this, and I'll shut up. This is one of the greatest things that I've learned in my few years that I've been saved. If you mess up, get it done then. Don't drag it along. Don't carry it around, because all it'll do is fester. And then you'll start playing mind games, and then the devil will work you over. If you've done something wrong, get down there and confess it and get it right. And don't let it eat you up. And he'll forgive you, because he wants to fellowship with you. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've tried for my soul to talk about what light's about tonight. Bless it, Lord. Bless your word. Bless every soul in this house. Father, may they leave tonight in joy. May they leave tonight in victory. May they leave tonight better than they were when they came in here. May they leave tonight with their faith refired and rekindled in thee. Heavenly Father, I pray that I've instructed them right. I pray that I've led them rightly. I pray this in Jesus' name. This is a wonderful time, Lord, when we come together and we're doing something for someone else. We're giving something. We're lighting candles. We're saying to people that we love you. We want to give to you. We want to help you. We're not here to kill people. We're not here to blow people up. We're here tonight to help people. In Jesus' name we pray. And for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.